ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago without a live studio audience, but I feel your great energy already this week, and we are going to begin this Monday Motivation Miraculous Rescue with a shout out to Shira Shika. Yes, Shira was at our Shabbaton and this past Shabbos in the city, and Shira says, Rabbi, I have a story to tell you. And I didn't know how long the story was going to be because there was a big room of a lot of people. And she says, no, I have to tell you this story. And she says, every Monday I get up at 5 a.m. I'm ready. And if anyone knows Shira, she's full of energy, great, positive, wonderful energy. And she says, I jump out of bed getting ready. And the first thing I do is turn on Monday Motivation. So Shira, a very happy Monday to you. Thank you for giving me such good vibes about Monday Motivation, the impact that it is making. And I would like to invite the others out there, many of you who are listening to Monday Motivation. I always get good feedback from my mom and dad and a few others, but I'd love to hear. Let me know. Give me your Monday Motivation story, and we might just start out with it in the coming weeks. Okay, Shabbos in the city of Project 613 was beyond amazing. Incredibly packed crowd Friday night. We're literally using every square inch of our downtown center. And what a great investment that is. A real game changer for our whole organization, as well as for Jewry, young professional Jews in downtown Chicago, making a huge impact. And super, super excited about that. Lots of upcoming events to come. And just to put on your radar, for those of you who are grateful for Monday Motivation and the work that Project 613 does, just to plant a seed that our one fundraiser of the year will be February 27th and 28th, coming up next week, a week from Tuesday and Wednesday. So please have us in mind. All right, so fasten your seatbelts. This is a crazy, crazy story. I have heard many, many times, students, other people, if God would just do a miracle, then I would believe in him. Well, call all those people. Have them call me, okay? Because God just did one. Now, we know and we believe, but we also know that God does miracles every second. If you look at the functioning of your body, science has very little idea even how the brain works. They can't even describe how it works or does what it does, not to mention how it got there and how it developed into what it developed. That's an advanced organ. I mean, just talk about one capillary, one cell, the mRNA, the tRNA, the DNA literally unzips, zips, puts together amino acid chains, turns into proteins, and like, this is all an autopilot. This is happening billions of times a second, possibly trillions of times a second in all of our cells, all the different systems, the lymph system, the circulatory system, the reproductive system, the skeletal system, the respiratory system, the digestive system. These are all systems in the organs. We know that that is a miracle. If you dig down just a little bit beneath the surface, science books, they describe it in such incredible detail, but they never ask why or how. And we know that miracles are happening all the time. But even people who can't recognize that Mother Nature is really Hashem in his constant miracles, and they want like a split the sea type miracle, well, they've been happening constantly in this war in Gaza. And I want to share with you one that happened last week, and it is just so heartwarming. The entire story, what happened, the reactions, and it involved the rescue of two hostages from Gaza. And here is the story. So basically a week ago, it was early Monday morning, February 12th, about between 1 and 2 a.m., about 1:49 a.m. is when it went down, that there was a raid by the elite troops of units of Tzahal and the security services and you know, all the top units. And there was a raid on a second floor apartment in Rafah. Now, Rafah is the southernmost city in Gaza. It's, you know, the whole world says, oh, no, don't attack Rafah. But that's where basically most likely all of the remaining hostages are, as well as the remaining Hamas leadership and the last of the remaining Hamas battalions. So obviously everyone who's calling for Israel to stop now basically just doesn't want Israel to defeat Hamas. That's just a side point. So basically, this is a totally impossible raid. It is on the second floor of a building that is surrounded. Now, again, this is not in Khan Yunis, which was flattened like a pancake, or Gaza City that's flattened like a pancake, and the buildings are destroyed, and the terrorists have fled, and there's just two, you know, Israeli hostages hanging out, and maybe a guard with a gun. Okay, this is still in Rafah. The city has not yet been attacked fundamentally and has not been taken over, and so they have all of their full strength. And so what happens, this Israel starts bombing the surrounding area as a distraction. The elite forces burst in to this apartment, mowing down three terrorists, and then instantly, within seconds of entering the apartment, securing the two hostages. Now, why the guards weren't there with a gun to the hostage's head, as happened in the past, unfortunately, with Nachshon Vaksim and Hashem Yinkom Damo, may Hashem revenge his blood, many, many years ago, and other hostage situations. They weren't there. They blew away these terrorists, and in the entire operation, about 100 more in a battle. So imagine this hostage rescue situation. They got into the apartment, blew away the three terrorists there. Without the terrorists, you'd think the terrorists would realize that something's happening and maybe just take the hostages and kill the hostages. But they didn't. And they got the two hostages out of there under intense fire. It was like a war zone. And they got the hostages out. A few people were interviewed about this. One was, I don't want to say his name was Dichter. I forgot his name, full disclosure. And he's one of the former top military guys. And he said in Hebrew, and I'll translate, he says, movies don't even make scenes like this because it's too far-fetched. He said, it's impossible what just happened. And he didn't say it's God and a miracle. We're going to have a soldier later on who is going to say that. But he said, movies don't even make scenes like this because no one would believe it. Not one Israeli soldier nor the hostages were hurt. Okay, and I want to pivot to the video. There's a video from the actual helicopter where these two hostages are now being taken back to Israel, to the hospital. And it's with this elite group, the Shayetet, Shalosh Esrei, the Shayetet 13. And I'm telling you, this is like Bubby, this is like Grandma, this is like taking care of the little grandchildren. These elite soldiers who were like, make Rambo look like, you know, a cream puff, right? They asked, you know, can we tie your shoes? Do you want some water? Are you cold? It's this just unbelievable, heartwarming scene here. The little video is less than 2 minutes of this ride, and it's a compilation of just different clips of their conversation. And the soldiers asked, are you cold? And the hostages said back, no, we're warm. And then he paused and said something so beautiful. He says, no, You warmed our hearts. You warmed our hearts. And the soldier says, Ezekiel, what joy, what joy. And he continues on. The soldier says, it's great having you with us. It's very exciting. After 129 days in captivity. And then later in the flight, as they're getting close to landing, the soldiers, these brave soldiers who literally risked their lives, not only risked their lives, they put their lives in a situation where most likely they were going to be killed. And these soldiers said, we love you. Anachnu ohavim etchem. We love you. They said to the captives that they had released. I mean, folks, it doesn't get more beautiful than this. What do you mean we love you? What does it mean that these soldiers would say we love you? They've never met these Jews who happen to seem to be very kind and wonderful people who were had made Aliyah from Argentina, Argentinian Jews. And what does it mean that these soldiers said we love you? And I think, and I know, that this is one of the greatest, deepest expressions of the love that every Jew does have deep down. Sometimes it's buried for every other Jew. This is the mitzvah of ahavta l'reicha kamocha, to love your fellow Jew as yourself, that we are part of a nation, that we're in this together. Kol Yisrael arevim zeh l'zeh, every Jew is responsible for each other to the point where we put our lives on the line for each other. You know, these soldiers literally risked their lives, not in a general campaign war, but in a specific death mission. And not one of them was hurt with a scratch. And now I'll share with you another interview. Okay, and if you see the front cover of Money Motivation, this is the interview of this elite unit, Shayetet Shlosh Esrei. And these soldiers were interviewed. And at the end, I only saw literally 20-something seconds of the interview. It's the only piece of the video interview I got. And at the end of the interview, he says, I want to ask you a very personal question. He said, the operation ended with about 100 terrorists eliminated. You were facing huge artillery and fire against you, and not one injury. And all the captives, above all, are returning home in peace. And without blinking, the soldier, whoever he is, in his sunglasses and concealed identity, said, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Zenes. Borei Olam. It's the creator of the world. And professionalism, he continued, and lots of protection from our friends above. So it's a little ambiguous what he meant by that. I don't know if that means from God above, or if he meant from the Air Force above, but it's good. His first reaction was, it's a miracle. It's a creator of the world. And you have this Israeli soldier who was in the line of fire, who was the one who was most likely, he has every right to say, you know, it was our ingenuity, our strength, it was our muscles that did it, and I want you to know that the Israeli army is an undefeatable force and we will conquer everything. He didn't say that. He said it's God. He said it's a miracle. And he said it's professionalism. That is the voice of a Jew. That is how we, the Jewish people, approach life. We know that we need to do our due diligence, what we call our hishtadlis, our hishtadlut, our due diligence, our human effort. God does not want us to be cavemen and women doing nothing. God wants us to be involved in the world, but also to recognize that the ultimate outcome of the success of our efforts depends ach v'rak ala Kodesh Baruch Hu, only and exclusively on the Holy One, blessed be He. And this soldier nailed it. He got the true Torah, true outlook on life. pulsing, coursing through his arteries. He lived it. He knows that he needed to go in there with all his professionalism. And yet, success or failure was determined by Hashem, by God, and Zenes. It was a miracle. I'm just so blown away by that Israeli soldier. And this is relevant for our lives too. We think we're going to the next business meeting. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. Yes, we do our shtadlus. We do our human effort and we do it the best we can. This Shabbaton downtown, we put in so much effort to it. But one of the major parts of our effort is we're praying. I'm literally praying my lights out that it should go well. The right people should come. That should be the right mood and that everything should go well. And so at the end of this incredibly successful Shabbos in the city, I say the same thing as the soldier, Zenes. It's a miracle. A Borei Olam. God himself brings the success. Now, I want to finish off with a very powerful segment, and with an asterisk. An asterisk is like this. In the times when we had prophets, you know, for the last 2,000 years, the Jewish people have been a non-profit religion. Da-doom, boom. Okay, non-profit, prophet. Okay, well, you'll get it. And we have not had prophecy. The Navi, the prophet, has been replaced by the Chacham, by the wise man. When God turned the lights of prophecy off, he forced us not to see the truth, but to hear the truth, which means we need to listen carefully and work harder to come to the truth, which means he wants our participation in the process and not just give us the answer key of life. But when we had prophecy, we could know exactly why something happened. Though this person prayed, and so therefore it started to rain. And this person did this mitzvah, and so that person was saved from the bandit. So we don't have that anymore. We don't have a one-to-one connection. And it's always very unsettling to say, well, because someone did this, it leads to that. But nevertheless, we don't rule out that possibility. We just don't know for sure. Does prayer work? Yes, prayer works. Do mitzvahs work? Yes, mitzvahs work. They're a tremendous source and a spiritual force to be reckoned with. And so there is the week before us. This happened on a Sunday night, early Monday morning. And the families of the hostages, of these particular hostages, were in Florida and were actually speaking at a Chabad event of Bal Harbor. And one of the hostages was Luis Har, and his daughter Natalie was there with her husband and a representative from Israel who was helping them go around. And they basically want to, keep awareness going to make sure that no one forgets about the hostages. And it was a very special event. Rebbetzin Lipsker was a Chabad Rebbetzin, and I heard the actual recording. This is actually unbelievable. She said she's going to be a little chutzpahic. She's going to have a little bit of Jewish chutzpah. And she asks Natalie, and she basically said that Hashem listens when we push ourselves, when we take on a mitzvah that's hard for us. And when we do a mitzvah, we say it's hard for us, but we're doing it anyway in order to be a merit for our father to be released from captivity, said it speaks volumes. And so she asked him, Rebbetzin asked her, do you light Shabbat candles? Said, no, sometimes it's not. She says, I want you to accept upon yourself right now. It's not my approach necessarily, but maybe I would do it. I don't know. But she did. Rebbetzin's going to get away a lot of things that rabbis can't get away with. To light candles every week in the honor of your father. And when you're doing it, say, Hashem, this is hard for me, but I'm doing it anyway. And she did. And she then turned to this Natalie's husband, who said, and asked, do you put on tefillin? He says, sometimes. She says, I want you to take on putting on tefillin every day. Well, not Shabbos, but every day. He said, oh, that's hard. She said, good, it's hard. I want you to do it. And he did. He accepted upon himself. And then she turned to the representative who was bringing them around, and she said, oh, what about you? He said, well, I sometimes put on tefillin, sometimes I don't. She said, do you accept it? He said, yes, I accept it. So that, fine, my husband will get you two pairs. And then Natalie said something. She says, thank you. We appreciate the two pairs of tefillin you're going to give us, but I want a third pair. Rebbitson asked, "For whom?" And Natalie said, "I want a third pair for my father when he's released." And this was the week before, a few days before. And this happened. Spirituality is a force. Our connection to Hashem is a force. We need to use it and to continue to use it for the benefits of our lives, for the benefits of the Jewish people, to pray for the captives, to pray for our beloved Israeli soldiers, and to pray for our success in our lives to connect to Hashem. There's so many things trying to drag us away and so many forces against the Jewish people and individual Jews, that we have a collective spiritual nuclear energy that starts with each and every one of us. And may we make a commitment this Monday to be inspired, to be motivated, to use our nuclear spiritual power for the good of ourselves, for our fellow Jews, for the Jewish people, for the captives, Israeli soldiers, the entire world. God bless. An amazing week. And we'll see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.